Hello, Mobilizers. This is Mission Possible, Season 2 with brand new perspective on perception change for returning citizens. I'm Sheila Murphy, Chief Mobilizer for Mission to Mobilization, focused on changing the way you see our 4.5 million returning citizens and 8 million folks living under adult correctional supervision. As difficult as it may seem, this mission is possible. This season, we're hearing testimony from our community. Professionals, employees, family members, we are sharing returning citizen success stories from the viewpoint of their community members. Our work changes laws and breaks down walls and barriers opposing the progress of these men and women. Later, you will hear from Nate, certified health and well-being coach and author. He is helping us change how we think and what we do. You don't want to miss 1 minute of the show. Now, I'm excited and always excited about my guests because they are all good. And today I'm thrilled to bring to the show Dr. Dolores Pittman, owner and practicing dentist of Pride Dental in Maryland. Dr. Pittman has been keeping her community smiling and healthy for years. One of the things I love about her is how wise and well-informed she is. She meets and helps so many different kinds of people, and I wanted to share one of the ways she's increased her knowledge is through her humility and desire to be a lifelong learner. Please open your heart and your head to my sister, Dr. Dolores Pittman. Hello, Dr. Pittman.
Oh, hello, Miss Murphy. It's my good pleasure to join you this evening.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I want us to jump right in. I want you to tell our audience a little bit about you, you know, what your, if you have any specialties that you provide in your practice, and just a brief overview of an average workday for you.
Okay, I'm native Washingtonian, and I have lived and worked in the Washington metropolitan area for my entire career, at times on Capitol Hill and presently in lovely Bowie, Maryland. We see all family members from children on up to the seniors, and we do general and cosmetic dentistry.
Okay.
And I enjoy my job.
Okay.
I really enjoy my job.
Okay.
We focus on taking care of people, listening and educating our patients when they come in. And we live by the motto that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So I try to make sure that when they leave my office, they feel like they've been cared for.
That's beautiful. I love it. So tell me how you got started in this work. Why did you want to become a dentist?
Actually, I anticipated being a veterinarian. From when I was in middle school, I wanted to be a veterinarian. But I changed courses or changed my focus when I was in undergraduate, and I wanted to still be in some form of medicine, but I wanted to combine that with my artistic side. So as a child, I did a lot of sculpting, working with clay, painting, playing piano. I was just very expressive through my hands. So dentistry allows me to be in a field of medicine where I virtually rebuild and recreate smiles one at a time.
Oh, I love that. I didn't know that about you. That's awesome. You're a very creative woman.
Thank you.
Yes, that's awesome. Well, I want to talk a little bit about just a story you told me not too long ago. You know, we were talking and there was something really, really interesting about a returning citizen that you met and had an encounter with. And I thought that I just had to share this with our audience. So please just tell the story how you told me, and then we'll just kind of dig into it and talk about it a little bit.
Sure. Well, this story took place in the 1990s on Capitol Hill when I had first opened my practice at 8th and D Street. And that's a busy corner where there's a bus stop and a lot of people congregate there. As a result of that, there was a lot of trash being left on the property both inside and outside the gate. And it was a nuisance to have to clean that up every day. But there was an older gentleman, I suppose he was in his late 50s to early 60s, who came by one day and asked if he could clean up my yard. And I, of course, was busy. And this was great because I didn't have to get out there and clean up on a daily basis. But he would come by regularly and take care of that for me in exchange for monetary compensation. So it was a win-win for me. Ultimately, it went from him cleaning up the trash to shoveling snow whenever that happened, and even clipping the hedges for me. to keep those neatly trimmed. So I was accustomed to seeing him come by and very comfortable with him coming by. On one particular day, I was busy seeing patients and he asked to use the restroom, which was in the rear of the office. And once he finished using the restroom, he went back outside to finish his work. And I stepped to the rear of the office where my private office was located. And I happened to see my purse on the floor with all of its contents spilled out. And I was immediately horrified because I wasn't sure who had gone into my purse and who was responsible for knocking it over on the floor. There were other people within the office, including other employees and patients, but my thoughts immediately went to this gentleman who just happened to come by that day to do yard work. And I made some assumptions about him. I just assumed this couldn't have been my employee because they've been working for me for so long. It couldn't have been this patient. They didn't have the opportunity. So I went ahead and contacted the police. And I said, he's still outside, but if something is, this is before I checked the purse, I said, if something was taken, then he's going to get caught red-handed. So the police responded right away, and they came in and addressed me first, and I told them, this is what I found, and this is how I found it. And then they went out to get this older gentleman. And when they brought him in, they questioned him about the purse. And he immediately just kind of went into a mini meltdown where he physically appeared to become smaller, where he just wanted to kind of hide, kept his head down, he kept his eyes down, his breathing increased, started sweating, and he swore he had nothing to do with it. It wasn't him. It was at that time that he said, I've been locked up before. I can't go back to jail. You know, it wasn't me. I swear. And he was just in this state of one step removed from panic. And the police asked me to check the purse. Absolutely nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. And I realized that it was possible that I had left it maybe on the edge of the desk and it had just merely fallen over.
Wow.
But by then, this man who was always faithful, dependable, and had been trustworthy was just a wreck. And I thanked the police for coming, and then I had to quietly talk to him. And I had humbled myself and asked for his forgiveness for making that assumption about him. I didn't realize that how devastating it was to be triggered by the thought of returning to jail.
Yeah.
And I was grieved that I had caused that much stress.
So
he continued to work for me, and then he ultimately moved on. But what I found to be so ironic was that within months of that happening, I found that one of my employees, who had never been to jail, whom I trusted with the key, had been robbing me blind.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
And I had never suspected her of being capable of the underhanded things that I ultimately found that she had done. So I guess what I learned from that experience is to, number one, not judge a book by its cover, not judge a person just because they have a humble appearance.
Okay.
Or where they're doing manual labor. It occurred to me that sometimes returning citizens are going around and doing what they can by the way of creating jobs for themselves. Sometimes it might be cleaning yards, it might be shoveling snow, it might be raking leaves, it might be selling bottles of water. But they're doing what they can to make a living in the face of a criminal record that may be following them.
Sure.
I have acquaintances that made CDs for me. So he would say, just give me a music list and I'll make CDs for you. So I had regular requests, and they would do that for me. They would just burn a custom CD for me. And this was their way of making ends meet and putting food on their own table. What I also learned from this was that at the end of the day, if the truth be told, at the end of the day, we're all liars and thieves. In God's eyes, none of us is perfect.
That's right. All of us
are falling short.
That's right.
All of us have taken something, no matter how small, it was not ours.
That's right.
All of us have spoken lies.
And maybe just didn't get caught for it. Or
exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah. So I say that just to, I guess, emphasize the point that essentially we can all be redeemed. And I just think I'm thankful that we have the opportunity for redemption. It's not off the table for any of us.
That's right. That's right. You know, I wanted to, the story is just so, it's powerful on so many levels. And our work, which is focused on sharing positive stories about returning citizens, this perspective is looking at really the positiveness of that man had not done anything and how
right.
He was doing the right thing. He was doing his best to stay out of prison and make a living for himself legally.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to ask you, you know, what do you believe just the regular public person, you know, Joe or Jackie Public, if we call them that, can do to help diminish some of the obstacles that returning citizens are facing post-incarceration?
I would say to give them the opportunity to prove their worth. Everybody has worth. And I've never had to address the psychological mindset. I don't have the benefit of having the psychological mindset of someone that has been incarcerated, that has made mistakes. And I don't know to what degree their self-worth has been diminished.
Right.
But rather than reinforcing that idea that they're worthless, to give them the opportunity to show that they are, in fact, worthy of a second chance. They are, in fact, worthy of your trust.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's
because
good.
Because we offer that so freely with people who don't have that label.
That's true. Very freely. Without even thought.
Right. And
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I wanted you to talk just a little bit about things that have inspired you and maybe one person that you would say most inspired your life, and share maybe a story or example of how that's demonstrated in your living every day.
Okay. I would say that one person that I really try to model my life after would be Pastor Stephen Garvey.
Okay.
He is a minister that had a church in Louisville, Kentucky. He passed away a couple of years ago, but fortunately he left a great deal of video recorded sermon material online. And Pastor Garvey speaks of having standards for yourself.
Hmm.
Having the discipline to not go according to the crowd, but to be willing to stand up for your principles. Start with having some principles.
Okay.
And then being strong enough and independent enough to say, you know, I'm not going along with the crowd. I'm not going to do what the world is doing. If I stand by myself, I'm going to do what's right in God's eyes.
Hmm.
I believe that unless your behavior is held to that standard, to God's standard, while we all fall short, the difference is some of us wake up the next day determined to do better, whereas there's some of us that have no standards at all. And Pastor Darby speaks about standards, about self-respect for not just men, but for women, respecting themselves in the way that they speak, respecting themselves with the way that they dress, respecting themselves with the way that they interact with other folks. So I would say that a lot of what he taught me, I have tried to apply in my life and in my practice.
That's good. That's beautiful. Yes. And I would say, lastly, and you started speaking about it a little bit when you were talking about your encounter with the gentleman that was doing some work for you. But I'd like for you to share your core beliefs around second chances for returning citizens. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you feel or believe that they do deserve second chances? There are so many Americans, you know, that are on both sides of the coin, so we would say, about this issue. But there are a number of people that really don't believe people deserve second chances. And so just from your perspective or your vantage point, why would you say that you believe that they do?
I believe at the end of the day, we all are imperfect people. And at the end of the day, there are just as many folks that break the law that have been incarcerated as folks who are breaking the law that were never incarcerated. We're already amongst the criminal mindset, whether they were recently released from prison or not. Doesn't matter. There are predators that freely roam the streets out here that have never been incarcerated.
That's right.
And we don't know who they are. So I guess what I would say is that until someone demonstrates that they can't be trusted, that they can't be relied upon.
That's good.
That you have to kind of give them an opportunity.
Yeah.
I think everybody has different comfort zones, but I would not, I don't like to view people as being throwaway. Everybody gets off track, particularly when we're younger and we think we know everything. And we make some decisions that you look back on and you say, wow, I wish I could get a do-over for that.
Right.
So, some of us have committed sins that got us locked up, okay? Others have committed sins or crimes that they were never caught for.
That's right.
But God sees everything.
Yes.
And some people are made to pay a debt to society, but everybody will be held accountable. So when you level the playing field in that way, I think that one can be a little bit more giving or a little bit more willing to offer grace and opportunity for returning citizens.
Yes. Excellent. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much. I'd love for people to be able to find you if they're here in the DMV, but also on social media, just to tag you. So what are ways that, or what platforms are you using for Pride Dental?
Well, first, I'm located in Bowie, Maryland, not far from the Bowie Theaters.
Okay.
I'm at 4363 Northview Drive in Bowie.
Okay.
And you can look us up on our website, which is www.pridedentalofbowie.com. So a
okay.
lot of our contact information is there, and we're also found on Facebook.
Okay, wonderful. That is wonderful. Well, I thank you so much for your time, your perspective. I always love speaking with you and just hearing and gleaning the wisdom that you have gained. You're a very knowledgeable woman, and I believe that our audience will be encouraged and inspired by your transparency and your humility in this story with this man. So thank you again for sharing, and I look forward to seeing, you know, other ways that, you know, God will use you in the lives of other people. So thanks again.
Thank you for the opportunity.
You're welcome. Okay, I will talk to you soon.
Very good.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, you human. Coach Nate here with today's battle plan. Today I want to talk a little bit about storms, the storms of life. These are things that we encounter inevitably as long as you are alive. You will face, endure, encounter, and go through storms. Not one, not two, many. That's life. It was Louisa May Alcott who said, "I'm not afraid of storms, for I'm learning how to sail my ship." Too often in life, when a storm is approaching, we become fearful, afraid of the storm, almost as if we fear it, we'll make it go away. Hasn't happened yet. All fear does is paralyze us. It restricts our movements, our thinking, our creativity, our ability to navigate the storm. Storms happen, period. They're a natural occurrence. May not feel like it at the time, but if we look at the storm as an opportunity to learn to sail our ships, to chart our course, no matter what the storm looks like, no matter how overbearing, how difficult, and even at times painful and exhausting, as we're navigating through this, the goal being to navigate through it, once we achieve that, we now know better how to navigate, how to get through the difficult, the impossible. We're strengthened as a result of it. So storms, in many ways, bring us opportunities. It really depends on how we look at it. Fear does not aid us. It would be similar to being in a sailboat. You see a storm coming, and instead of navigating through that storm, going down into the hull of the boat, curling up and letting the storm throw you back and forth, and you'll end up where you end up, probably at a destination that you did not intend. And now you've got to navigate away from that, expend the effort to get to where it is you initially wanted to go. Yes, there are certain times in storms when we're supposed to take shelter, severe incidents. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about the storms of life that come at us, the unexpected surprises, the things that occur. If we look at those and change our perspective to each and every storm is an opportunity for us to demonstrate, to increase, enhance our skill set for navigating through that storm, the more opportunities, the more times we navigate through those storms, when, not if, they happen again, we will be more skilled, more adept, more able to navigate through those storms. That's a primary thing. That's for ourselves. Secondarily, there are other captains observing, watching us, whether they be our spouses, partners, family, children, relatives, friends. In the execution of our navigation, we're setting an example, one of courage and one of skill set on how to navigate through the storms of life. If each of us affected one other individual on how to get through life, I can only imagine the world that we would live in with the mental health crisis now at a crisis level. It's important for us to have our wits about us and to approach the challenges in life with an appetite and a determination to get through it. Fear won't help you. Worry, anguish, anger, all emotions, they don't serve you. In a biblical sense, if we look at it as leveraging the sails of grace and mercy, utilizing the rudder of faith, we're able to steer our way through the storm, emerging unharmed, fatigued but full of strength, weathered but yet protected, perhaps even worn down but not defeated. We emerge through the storm victoriously. A focused determination to take this opportunity and make it serve you to increase your skill set, your ability to navigate purposefully to where it is that you're intending to go, not being tossed about back and forth. That is the skill set of a trained captain of one's own life. And that can be you. It's just a matter of a decision. Until next time, this is Coach Nate. Live your best life on purpose now.
One day years ago, I was window or pre-shopping. That's when I check things out price-wise or size-wise before actually purchasing. I'm in a cute, colorful dress section, just seeing what catches my eye. Then I remember I wanted a set of pots and pans, cookware. So I went upstairs. While shopping, I noticed this young white guy with a hoodie on about 10 feet away from me. He looked kind of familiar, but I just brushed it off. I kept looking, smelling, imagining how tasty my gumbo recipe was going to be in my new pans. Then I snapped back and said, "Let me get out of this store." Not until I stopped by the ladies' shoe section just to see what I might see. While there, I noticed in my peripheral that same guy acting like he was looking at some shoes. I thought, what? I walked over straight to him and not so politely said, "Look, you're so busy watching me that you've got white customers over there robbing you blind. Leave me alone." I share this story because it reminded me either you've been judged or you've been the courtroom for some unsuspecting soul. There is a scripture in the Bible in the book of Matthew chapter 7 that says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye?" Let's reserve judgment for God. If you are not a God-fearing person or governed in that way, then simply don't judge. Instead, think about how you are spending your money. Buy for returning citizens with our Buy for Returning Citizen campaign. Influence perception and behavior by hosting a Walk a Month workshop. and list your returning citizen-friendly congregation on our registry. This is Mission Possible. The mission is possible. We are changing perception for returning citizens in this country. I'm Sheila Murphy. Check out missiontomobilization.com to see our work and visit NateBattle.com for today's battle plan. Until next time,
create your battle plan
and make your mission possible.